bad could it be, when we talk about burning in Gehenna, how bad could it be? Just think back to some point where you've been embarrassed or some embarrassing situation. Try to relive that feeling, right? And that gives you an idea of how there can be an intangible or non-physical suffering. That's what Gehenna is, except that Gehenna is multiplied by many times. Right? That's the non-physical suffering. Somebody had a question here.
Can you use permission to
call? If they give you permission, yes, but you better make sure that they're not giving you permission, that they're giving you permission because they really don't mind, as opposed to the fact that they want to be good sports. A lot of people will go along with the nickname only because they've gotten so used to the nickname. Right? It takes a certain amount of human sensitivity. There's a certain amount of human sensitivity in us, or like anything else, right? There are certain situations. Yes does not always mean yes, and no does not always mean no. Right? Everybody has been in situations where, can I borrow your car? All right. Right? That means no. Right? There are certain times in life where, and to take something because somebody can't say no, you know the guy's got a weak side, he's a softy, he can't say no, but if he could, he would, so then you're wrong for taking it.
But then you start calling shut, and says yes.
Sure. Even if he says, some people say yes, I'm sure, even if he has 100 times, right, you know what he would really, what he really wants to say, and he just doesn't have the makeup to say it. Right? So under those circumstances, you should avoid it, and that applies to nicknames or anything else that somebody agrees to go along with, even if they don't want to. Okay. 241. Answer suspense. 241, to not take revenge. The prohibition of taking revenge. You'll notice that there's a pattern developing in the Torah over here. Rebuke, don't embarrass, don't take revenge, right? What's the first thing you want to do when your roommate tells you off? Your roommate says you are an inconsiderate slob. Right? Or somebody tells you, you know what, you could actually, it would do a little better for you perhaps to take a course in better handwriting. Right? Or whatever it is that somebody criticizes, what's the first thing you want to do?
Criticize them.
You hire somebody to follow them 24 hours so that you can finally pick up a flaw so that you can, and it feels oh so good. Right? To Zeri, I finally nailed him. I got something on him. Comes along the Torah and says, the Torah, it is a prohibition in the Torah to take revenge. Revenge means any type of get back at somebody else for any reason is in the category of revenge. Now, there's an underlying philosophy over here which is very fundamental. A human being cannot be harmed unless God has decreed it. Any type of suffering that a human being goes through in this world will only come to him if God has decreed it. Right? Now, once God has decreed it, who carries it out? Could be man, right? It could be man, it could be an animal, it could be an inanimate object. One way or another, if God has decreed a certain individual is supposed to suffer intense pain in his knee, right? Well, A man could walk over him and club him with a baseball bat. A dog could come over and bite him in the knee. He could fall on a rock and smack his knee. There are a lot of ways to suffer that pain. If it's a divine decree, there's no way for us to avoid the divine decree. The divine decree is going to come true, right? When a person undergoes suffering because of somebody else, what has that person done? All he's done is carried out the divine decree. If somebody slams the door on your fingers, right, accidentally, we're always upset. Even if somebody does it accidentally, we're upset. If somebody does it on purpose, we're even more upset, right? What, according philosophically, do we really have a right to be upset with this human being? This human being is just an agent. If he wouldn't have done it, then one way or another we would get that suffering which God has decreed for us. I'm sorry?
Everyone
caught in
fear.
What?
Right.
So I shouldn't cry. That's
you're right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. It does not mean that, well, I was meant to have the door slammed on my fingers, therefore I'm not going to cry. Right? The pain hurts. There's no question the pain hurts. My question is, once I suffer the pain, who is the cause of my pain? This person who closed the door? Or is it God that brought me the pain? This person has only been an instrument in causing me that pain. Ultimately, if I'm a believer, then I understand that that pain was decreed by God. Now, there are provisions in the Torah. If my fingers are broken, And this guy did it intentionally. Torah says you can take this guy to court, right? Because he has become your instrument from God in order to recover some money for your broken fingers, right? God has decreed that you should have broken fingers, but you should be compensated for it. So you're allowed to take any type of compensation possible. But who is your, to take revenge means? That I'm ignoring God, the definition of revenge is I'm ignoring God, and I'm picking on you as an individual because I am blaming you for my suffering. And that's what the Torah is trying to do. The Torah is trying to say, don't blame the other person for your suffering. You are, there are exactly what you're saying. There are, you cannot live your life like that. There are halakhic provisions to make sure people don't hurt you. You have every right to take those precautions, and if you don't take those precautions, then you're negligent. On the other hand, you are not supposed to ultimately blame the individual. You blame for what happened, or the cause for what happened is obviously coming from God. Therefore, we have an obligation to turn upwards and not look at our fellow human being as doing it. So that's the prohibition of revenge. Now, the classic example is if you're looking for, I'm looking for somebody, I'm looking to find somebody, I'm looking to find Joe, right? And I don't know who Joe is, but walk away. What's your name?
Mark.
Mark. It's not Joe? How dare you? How can you not be Joe? I'm looking for Joe. It'd be ridiculous to blame him for not being Joe. Right? But you're not Joe? That's ridiculous. Why am I getting upset with you? That means you're causing me suffering right now. But is it your fault? Right? Would it be completely unreasonable for me to blame? Rabbi Yochanan Wasserman. He said Rabbi Yochanan Wasserman was once in a shul in America. Rabbi Yochanan Wasserman, he was the disciple of the Chafetz Chaim. Right. He was once in a shul in America. He's collecting money for his yeshiva in Europe. They were starving in the Branovich yeshiva. I think they had, at one point, they were eating a cube of sugar for breakfast and some bread for lunch, right? And then not much else for supper, right? And they were slightly better, right? They would have feasted on arsenic food, I guarantee you, even the suppers, right? So Rabbi Chanan Wasserman was collecting for the yeshiva. So he got to a certain shul, and I think he wanted to make an appeal in the shul, right? But when he wanted to make the appeal, the shul wouldn't let him make the appeal. So Rabbi Chanan Wasserman said to the people, all right, look, I understand you want me to make an appeal. Let me just give over one Dvar Torah. Right, let me at least say a Dvar Torah. So he said, fine, go ahead and say a Dvar Torah. He said, when God wanted to build a tabernacle, he wanted to build a Mishkan, the sanctuary, in the desert. So he told Moshe Rabbeinu that he should find Bezalel, and Bezalel was going to be the architect of the Mishkan. Right? Now Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know who Bezalel was. So picture Moshe Rabbeinu walking through the people, excuse me, are you Bezalel? No, not Bezalel. What? You're not Bezalel? How could you not be Bezalel, right? It would be ridiculous for Moshe to get upset until he finds the right Bezalel. Moshe Rabbeinu would look at this individual and say, all right, you're not Bezalel. Obviously, God has not chosen you to build the Mishkan, the sanctuary. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman said to the people, I'm not upset with you. You don't want to give us money? That's fine. Obviously, God has not chosen you to build the sanctuary. Right? That was the message that Rabbi Chanan Wasserman left them with and he departed. I don't know if they gave him money or not. Right? But that was the message. It was certainly passed for Rabbi Chanan Wasserman. The bottom line in the rule of revenge is that anything you do that somebody has done to you and you want to get back, that's considered revenge. The next mitzvah is 242, is a closely linked, which is the mitzvah of Shalot Lintor. Lo likom v'lo lintor. Lintor literally means to store it. Right? That means to bear a grudge. You're not allowed to take revenge. And lintor means to bear a grudge. The example the Gemara uses for likom and lintor, somebody knocks on your door and asks to borrow your shovel. And you say no. And then the next day, you go to borrow his shovel. And he says, no, I'm not going to lend you my shovel, just like you didn't lend me yours. That's a classic example of revenge. The classic example of bearing a grudge is where you come to somebody's house and say, can I borrow your shovel? And he says, no. And when he comes to you, he says, can I borrow your shovel? And say, yes, I'm not going to be like you, right? I'm not that type of person. I am going to lend you my shovel. If you're still mentioning what he's done to you, that means deep down in your heart, or maybe not so deep in your heart, you still bear a certain burden. There's still a grudge that you're bearing towards him. that would be considered, according to halacha, that's considered bearing a grudge. You have an obligation to try to eradicate from your heart any type of resentment towards somebody for anything that he's done to you under any circumstances. So even if somebody is asking you for the very thing, somebody who won't give you a ride, or whatever it is, and then he's asking you for a ride, you have every obligation not only to give him the ride, but to not even mention or remember by yourself what he's done against you. Okay? That's 242. Any questions, comments, or complaints about it? Okay. The next mitzvah follows the same pattern. Last mitzvah. Ve'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. You must love your fellow Jew. Now, the quote of do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Right? Everybody has heard that, right? By the authors of Turn the Other Cheek, right? They also, that's one famous quote. The other famous, I remember once an article in Time magazine when Israel was there was a terrorist attack or something, and then Israel went and bombed something or other in Lebanon. Right? So the article in Time magazine, when they were reporting it, they said, and there was a terrorist attack, and then the nation that never turns the other cheek went and bombed terrorists in Lebanon, blah, 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 blah. I think to myself, you fools, right? Name one nation in the world that has ever allowed somebody else to come in, stomp them, rape them, and beat them up, and then say, thanks, fellas, right? Where you've got the capability, not where you don't have the capability, but where you've got the capability of fighting back, is that, well, look, we're going to just be good Christians, and we're going to turn the other cheek here, burn down the rest of our town also. Thank you very much, right? Nobody in history has ever done that, but when it's Israel, then all of a sudden Israel, we're supposed to be good Christians. right? The country that never turns the other cheek, you're right, you fools. Why should we turn the other cheek? And Torah doesn't say to turn the other cheek. Guy punches you. Thank you. You forgot. You missed a spot over here. And Torah doesn't say to do that. To the contrary. Somebody can fight you. You're supposed to defend yourself. Right? That's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Now, when it comes to v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, love your fellow man as yourself, right? So when the ger, the potential convert, asks Hillel, teach me the entire Torah while I stand on one foot, right? So Hillel said to him, don't do to others, actually he said, I'll give you the direct translation, is what is hated to you, don't do to other people. What you hate having done to you, don't do to other people. Right? That means Hillel didn't say it in the positive. Do to other people as you would have other people do to you, because it's endless. That's endless and it's beyond our account. It's beyond a human capability. How can I possibly do for you what I want to do for myself? Because the minute I'm doing it for you, I'd rather do it for myself. We're simply not at that level. We do have an obligation to try to, according to the Ramban, Nachmanides, this command is that we should wish for the success of other people the same way that we wish for our own success. Even if I'm not to do unto others as I would have others do unto you, means that if I only have one piece of cake, right, I'm going to give it to you. Right? Because if you had it, I would certainly want you to give it to me. So that's what do unto others as you would have others do unto you mean. But that's ridiculous. Right? That tape recorder would become mine. Right, based on that, right? And I happen to like your glasses, so the glasses would become mine. There's actually a guy, they said there was a guy, a missionary, walked into Eishet Torah. Right, a big mistake. He was at the wall bothering people, right? And apparently they brought him into Eishet Torah and they brought him into the Rosh Hashiva there. So the Rosh Hashiva said to him, he sat down and he said, you know, this guy's preaching love and goodness. He said, do you love me, man? You love me? I love you. I love you. He said, really, you love me? I love you. Have your watch, right? He says, yeah. And he gives him the watch, right? Next was the wallet. Next was the shirt. He finally had him down to his underwear and a guy called a cop. Right. I mean, that's ridiculous. The Torah doesn't say to do that. The Torah doesn't say to go give everything you have to the contrary. You're not allowed to. Okay? That's the idea. And see, the way to get to the love, and that's what we started with, that's what we'll end with, the way to get to the love of other people, how could the Torah come along if you find the Torah commands us to control our emotions? Right? The Torah says, Be'ahavtes Hashem al-Gav, you have to love Hashem your God. Right? You have to love Hashem. How do you love Hashem? Be intense, right? I love you, right? It doesn't help, right? All it helps is that, you know, I need a neck brace, right? Boy, it doesn't do anything for your life. How do you love Hashem? Love your fellow man. How can you command me to love my fellow man? Right? Yet the Torah is obviously putting it within human, okay, it's within the realm of human, the scope of human accomplishment. So what does the Torah want me to do? The answer is, the Torah wants me to take those actions which will lead to love of my fellow man. What will lead to love of your fellow man? Obviously, giving to them. They have to giving to your fellow man that will develop and help nurture the love. Does it mean you have to give everything you have? Obviously not. Right? Obviously not. We're not on that level. Okay?
Okay.
All right, we'll stop here.